Welcome to this conversation. I'm your host, Teresa Keller, and my guest today is someone who is known and beloved throughout this entire region and has been celebrated to great extent recently. My guest, drumroll, Johnny Wood. Welcome to this conversation, Johnny Wood.
Well, hi. It's good to be with you today.
Well, you have just been through such a celebration of your life and career at WCYB-TV. And I got the pleasure of attending the premiere of the video, Good Morning, I'm Johnny Wood, at the Paramount Theater Friday night, where hundreds of people came to see the documentary and to celebrate you. I don't suppose you've heard anything much about that, have you?
Well, yeah, I have. You know, I've gotten, you know, response from a lot of my friends, and I cannot believe some of this stuff they found. The Great American Smokeout. I never knew that. I mean, I knew that happened, but I never knew that was, you know, recorded anywhere.
Well, you've got to explain that story. I'd like to think that that was the highlight of the entire documentary because I was in it. But, of course, you were the one stealing the show. Tell about that story.
Well, I heard it got a pretty good laugh.
It did.
And I certainly got a heck of a laugh out of it. I just collapsed. But it was kind of a smart aleck thing I did, too. It was not all accidental, but I knew you were going to do that Great American Smokeout story, and I knew how you were on me to quit.
Was I?
Oh, not you, no.
I'm so obnoxious.
And I guess they were recording that update.
No, it was a live cut-in, and I'm reading into the, you know, looking at the camera in the newsroom,
and you're
standing behind me, and I'm saying, today's the National Smokeout Day.
My desk was right behind, or, you know, we faced each other, and you would turn around in your chair and face the camera, which was, you know, in the back of the studio, in the back of the newsroom. Anyhow, I fired that cigarette up, and somebody off camera remarked something, and I started getting giggly and realized what a stupid thing I had done. And I just...
No, wait. You did it on purpose.
Well, sort of. I was playing a joke on you, and I realized, gosh, we're on the air with this. You know, this ain't too good.
And then people in the newsroom started laughing because I'm reading into the camera, and people should, you know, consider quit smoking. Today's the day when everybody's going to do it. And you're lighting up a cigarette in the back. And people start laughing, and you lost it.
Oh, I did. I did. And I was laying across my... It was so far back, we had typewriters.
Yes.
A good Selectric, IBM typewriter, but, you know, still a typewriter. I started out with an old black Royal manual years ago.
Well, in this clip, you laughed so hard, and everybody behind me started laughing, and you sat down and turned away from the camera, and then you were laughing so hard, you leaned over and put your head on the typewriter, and your body was shaking. You were laughing so
hard. Oh, I know, and I was trying to get out of sight of you, too. I knew I was going to get that glare, you know.
Hey, you're making me sound terrible.
No, we worked together too long for that.
Yeah. That's right. We were pretty real with each other, and it was a great time. And I don't know, people listening to this probably don't even remember that I was on TV because that was decades and decades ago. But I was only there for 7 years, and you were there for 44.
I think, you know, it's pretty cool that I worked with a lot of your former students. And they would refer to you as Dr. Keller, which is proper, because you do have a PhD, or as we used to kid around, a food.
A food. Yeah, you used to say that.
I would say, what? And I realized, you know, they were very respectful toward you, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, let's name some of those heavy hitters that you worked with.
Oh, Wade Vidal was one. Of course, he never was on the air much. Tara Taylor, Olivia Bailey, Brent Treish, golly.
Andrew McClung is still
Andrew
there.
Andrew McClung, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's on the air now. There is a bunch of them, that's for sure. You've had quite an impact on this area.
Well, hello. We are talking to you, talking about an impact on the area. Johnny, okay, this is the truth. Even back when I was on air, and I would be out in the community and people would recognize me and say, hey, you're Teresa Keller. And the next statement was always, "How's Johnny?"
And I was really blessed with an audience. And I think I explained on the documentary where I thought a lot of it came from was that horrible winter back in the 70s when I kind of stole radio's audience, I think. Or I started doing my radio bit on TV is actually what happened. Remember Jim Byrne, of course. You all worked together.
Oh, yeah. We're still in touch. He's doing very well.
Well, good. But Jim left the station, and Bob Smith asked me to fill in. And I said, well, you know, Jim did a lot of interviews and, you know, those public affairs interviews. I said, Bob, I can't do a show like that. I'll just do a straight news show. And he said, okay, you know. So I was kind of a minding time until they could find somebody. And the winter hit, and I started doing Johnny Wood radio without the music, you know.
Meaning?
Just doing news, you know, straight up and down, reading the news and doing weather and road reports. Oh, yeah, the school announcements. I think that was a big factor. You know, people would tune in to see if they needed to get their kids ready to go to school or take some other measures, you know, to deal with the weather that day. So that's where it all started.
So you attracted the kids for the weather reports
about
school.
Well, that and the parents, too. You know, the whole family to try to see what their day was going to be like.
And you did the fishing report. That made you famous.
Well, I started doing that after, I used to do that in radio, too, but I started doing that after that horrible winter to, try to retain that audience, you know, because it developed into a pretty significant audience. That, you know, these were prime time numbers and not out of prime time, so station couldn't charge a prime time rate. You know, ratings were based on the number of the audience, basically. As a result, and it was a working person's audience, too, I'm sure there were maybe a few drunks up at that hour, but most of the people were getting up and going to work. And these were the people that are the producers, you know, of the economy. It didn't take long for the car dealers and grocery stores to realize what this audience was, and still is, as a matter of fact. These are your consumers, in other words.
I'd just like to point out, Johnny Wood, that you are demonstrating something that I know about you that other people may not, people in the business did, but your on-air persona was a lot of good old boy in there. Would you agree with that?
Oh, sure. Oh, by all means.
Okay, so you're doing good old boy, but listen to what you just said about audiences and who's listening and what role they play in the economy. You're very sophisticated, in fact, and the other thing I want to hear you talk about for a minute is you are serious about journalism. You may be up there talking about the fishing report and stumbling over your words and, you know, doing good old boy kind of a shtick, but there's some serious journalism going on with you, too.
Well, yes. I realized that responsibility long ago. I had a lot of great teachers, people like Meryl Moore and Art Countess and Mr. Walter Crockett, and you only have one chance to be correct. It's what he always told us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to use his language, but basically he told us to get out there and, you know, get it done and make sure everything's, all the I's are dotted and T's crossed and all that sort of thing as far as the facts of the story, and to keep it concise, too.
Right, the facts.
Right.
And it seems like that's that kind of journalism is diminishing in the world. What do you say about that?
Well, it's gotten soft. There's still good journalism being practiced out there, but I think it's been softened a lot by the internet presence. And you can't stop progress. It's just the internet's another form of communications. And television, eyeball to eyeball news was what we went through, and we, of course, the newspapers are the ones that are really suffering, and they're the ones that really develop a lot of the stories that are aired or whatever is done on the internet these days as well. So, because they don't get paid for it anymore, you know.
Yeah, so they break the stories. They're doing the serious journalism. Other people pick it up and share it on social media, but they don't get paid for that.
Right.
So, yes, it is. And you mentioned the word responsibility. It seems that it just puts more and more responsibility on viewers and listeners who may not understand that the full scope of that responsibility.
You shouldn't have to as a viewer. You, you should see it and be able to accept it as fact, you know, due to faith that that person or entity that you're seeing it on is reliable and so forth, you know?
Yes, I wish, but viewers and listeners these days really need to kind of understand the source and maybe do some investigation before they know what to believe.
Well, that's true. And that's why people are becoming more and more doubtful of what they're seeing and hearing these days. But I got a couple of really great compliments, and I saw Steve Smith on that show. I got a ton of mail after my heart attack. You could not believe the mail Mary and I went through here in this house. I mean, different ones came from Steve Smith. He says, thanks for selling all that bread and milk. You know, he runs Food Cities, in case your audience may not know. So that they had him on that show, but that was one of my favorite cards.
Well, I wanted to have you talk a little bit more about that. First of all, let me reintroduce you. I'm Teresa Keller. This is This Conversation, and my guest today is Johnny Wood of WCYB-TV fame. I had the pleasure of working with him years ago, and just mentioned, Johnny, you just mentioned your heart attack. Tell us when that happened and how that came out.
Well, I'm still here. A very close call, and I couldn't believe how young those two doctors looked, because that the video they showed, I guess, was of them during that time, and that was... golly, how many years ago? 20-some years, you know. And they did a bypass, triple bypass, and they had to stop my heart to do that. And then they had a little trouble getting it all cranked back up again. It's like an old bulky outboard motor. It just won't start, you know. And they defibrillated me a number of times, and it was getting to the danger point. And Dr. Mark told me, he says, well, I said, what'd you do? And he said, well, we just said a little prayer and said, we can't lose this guy. Let's do it one more time. And I'm here.
Well, thank goodness for that. How is your health, Johnny?
See a cardiologist every 6 months, and it's all the bypasses are still working, and my circulation is good, and I'm not having any more heart problems. I am having some other physical problems of being able to get around, and that's why I could not get out to the show. I really would like to have seen everybody, and it just wasn't to be, but I've accepted that.
You said that you still get around. Is there any fishing going on in your world
no,
these days?
No, not anymore, I'm afraid. I don't, like I said, I've had to give up a lot of stuff. I'm on a walker.
Well, what is, I don't want to pry, but everybody asks me, how's Johnny still, when they see me and remember me from TV, how's Johnny? So what is exactly going on with you health-wise about why you're having trouble getting around?
Well, I've had a couple of knee replacements, and one of them didn't work out too well, and then I fell, broken my ankle in two places, and had to spend a long period of rehabilitation, and I just haven't really gotten back from all of that.
You are being well cared for.
Oh,
tell us
am.
About your number one nurse.
Oh, boy. Well, to begin with, we're celebrating our 60th year of marriage this year. In the very, very near future, the Lord has really blessed me, and I hope Mary concurs that she has been blessed as well. But we were high school sweethearts, and she's a wonderful person, taking wonderful care of me, and I've become kind of high maintenance here in the last few months, but I'm really blessed.
Tell us more about your family, Johnny, because I believe I ran into a granddaughter of yours at the premiere the other night.
Okay, I guess it was Caitlin, I guess, was there.
Uh-huh.
She's the youngest. She's over in Charlotte area, and she's a dental technician, I guess is the right word. I have a grandson, Drew. He's married. He lives in Knoxville. He worries me to death. He's a Knox County deputy sheriff.
Mm.
That's a tough county. He also was in the Tennessee National Guard. He went through the officer candidate school. He's a first lieutenant. He's a platoon leader, and he's wanted to get into aviation, but he was too old, I guess, when he started in it, so he ended up in Abrams Tanks. So he's a tanker. So was Elvis Presley, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was ended up being a sergeant, you know, and over in Germany, and he was in the tank corps then, as it's called, of the armored cavalry. I'm really proud of him.
So grandson Drew is following in some very famous footsteps.
Yeah, oldest granddaughter, She just got her master's degree not long ago from Purdue University, and she is employed, I think, by the Knoxville YMCA, and she helps place people in housing, which is a huge problem in Knoxville with that university there to find affordable housing for people. So she works with a lot of kids, a lot of folks like that, and she's just become a mother, and we have a beautiful little great-granddaughter, Kenna, who's about 8 weeks old now.
Well, congratulations.
And of course, my son Andy and his wife live in Ohio in Lucasville, and that's up near Portsmouth, if you're familiar with that geography. And he works over in Huntington, West Virginia for CSX Railroad as a diesel engine mechanic.
Now, are all these grandchildren Andy's children?
Yes.
So you had one son?
One son, Andy. He's about, what, 60? 59. Well, that's about 60.
So yes, it is.
I started to say a slide rule, but I guess a computer to keep up with all the ages, but, you know.
Well, I'm sure people are happy to hear about your health and your family, and I think the story that we also need to tell is how it is that you came to be a broadcaster, which started, according to the documentary, because of calculus.
Well, yeah, my father was a test pilot and a World War One. They call them pursuit pilots then. The airplanes had a designation of P. Now it's F for fighter. But anyway, that's to tell you what the type of aircraft he flew were mostly British built, because we didn't have any airplanes when he was in the military. And he ended up testing a lot of stuff. And he said he was glad he didn't know too much about the engines, because he was always looking for a place to land those things. Anyway, I wanted to follow in his footsteps, and that requires a lot of math, you know, to engineering. And I thought I was pretty good in high school. I certainly was. And got into college and quickly advanced into calculus, went through all of the algebra and plane geometry and trigonometry that I knew pretty quickly. And it was the third, we were on the quarter system then. I misspoke when I mentioned it in the show, but, you know, I think I call it semester. But anyway, I was really struggling with this calculus and was flunking it. And the chairman of the math department called me in his office and told me, says, "Mr. Wood, I don't think you're going to be successful in this program. I suggest you find another major, and you'd better do it quickly." In other words, I was on the verge of flunking out, you know.
Mm.
And because this was a five-quarter-hour course, and, you know, an F on that would really clobber that grade point average, you know. So I had a fraternity brother that was involved in the campus radio, and they were off the air at the time, needed some help getting back on the air, and I had some technical expertise in that area. So I went over there and helped them. I burned a few all-nighters, you know, to help put their board back together. And I think they showed a picture of me with hair and a soldering gun. That's how long ago it was, before I wore bifocals and all that. He said, "Well, you got pretty good voices. Why don't you do a little audition for us?" And I read some news for them and got the bug and ended up in Dr. Bud Frank's classes. You couldn't get a major in journalism at the time, so you had to major in English. So that's what I did, and here I am.
Well, it's a long, beautiful story in between. And, you know, just to emphasize one more time, Johnny, you were just so beloved, and you made a comment early on about me giving you grief about smoking. I'll tell you what, you didn't mess with you. I remember one day on air, I thought I was being funny, and you had done a weather report right prior to my comment, and you had said something like, you were talking about an earthquake somewhere. And I made a comment. I said, "Well, if that pile of papers on your desk ever fell over, we'd probably have an earthquake around here." And do you know, we got a phone call, somebody saying to tell me to quit being mean to Johnny.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
Oh, my goodness. And then also you didn't tell the one about how we got paid for messing up on air.
Well, you know, Dick Clark had a storied career, you know, the eternal teenager. You know, he, American Bandstand, some people may remember that. But he had a program called Dick Clark's Bloopers, I guess, and he would stations would send in their bloopers and
their mess ups,
you know. And you and I had one over our computer and the weather, I guess, and you ended up getting on the air and not knowing it, and I couldn't. They were setting, you know, your segment followed my weather, and you were doing an interview, and they were setting it up, and that inadvertently had gotten on the air, and I was trying to make two or three remarks to alert that, hey, you got the wrong stuff on the air here, you know, without
saying
that. What is this,
Hurricane Teresa?
Hurricane Teresa's the word I use. So anyhow, that wound up on the premiere of that show, and they sent you and me a check for $100 as a talent fee for being on that show. and the director who, well, we mentioned it and everybody knows it's Tony Venable, he said, you know, they got checks and I got reprimanded. I heard that was a pretty good line.
That was the biggest laugh of the night.
And had we held on to those checks, you know, it would have been quite a souvenir.
Yeah.
But we were both broke.
Of course.
And so we did what any sensible person would do under those circumstances. We cashed them and bought groceries and stuff, you know.
I left and you had decades more of being beloved on air, Johnny. I'm wondering, what did you learn about being on air during all those decades?
Well, I learned one thing. It's a big responsibility. You don't want to mess up, you know, embarrass yourself, you know. I think one of the worst bloopers I ever pulled was working with Tara, and for some reason she had a doctor's appointment or something, but couldn't get back to get on the air, so at the last minute, old Johnny was going to have to fill in. The producer had the show all put together, but he didn't have anything printed out. You know, and it takes a while for a printer to print an hour-long television show, you know. So I said, well, I got to have a script, you know. So we'll just read it off the prompter. Didn't like to rely on those devices, but I didn't have much choice. And so he didn't change the intro, you know, good afternoon, I'm Johnny Wood. He had left it up as Tara Taylor. So I read it. And I realized right when I did, oh, man.
You said hey, good afternoon, know. I'm Tara, or good morning, I'm Tara Taylor.
It was the noon show, so I said good afternoon, and this is TV5 at noon, I'm Tara Taylor.
You should have gotten paid for that one.
Well, yeah. Again, and I just did what I did. I just laughed it off. You know, that was a real pressure reliever for me, is laughter. You know, and that's one reason I would get the giggles, I guess, and just laugh off those errors that you know, when you mispronounce, you know, things or something of that nature. I knew who I was, you know.
Well, if anybody wants to see your laughter in action, this documentary that we've been talking about is available. It's now on YouTube.
That's what I hear.
As I understand, you can go to WCYB and find their YouTube account, WCYB YouTube, and you can also search for Good Morning, I'm Johnny Wood. And I just got a text from Ryan Renfro, the producer of that documentary, who says, actually, that searching for Good Morning, I'm Johnny Wood is trending on YouTube right now.
Really? I tell you what, Ryan is a sharp young man. He did most of the legwork on that documentary. By legwork, I mean he shot the interviews. And obviously, somebody dug up a lot of stuff. I didn't even know it was around.
And he had to search through.
He was responsible for that.
He searched through archives. I understand he went down to East Tennessee State. He dug up stuff. And I had some photos and a little bit of video that I was able to contribute. And he really did yeoman's work in that documentary.
He certainly did.
So,
young man's got quite a future.
Johnny Wood, subject of an hour-long documentary that is now trending on YouTube and brought hundreds of people to its premiere. Just one more comment about that, would you, Johnny Wood?
Well, I'm very flattered that people remember me, and I'm very thankful. I am so thankful that my work is thought so highly of. Yeah, I'm proud. Would not be honest if I didn't say that. I'm proud of the work that I did.
As you should be. And Johnny, as anybody can see, one of my great achievements in people's eyes is that I worked with you. And above all, I am proud of what you've done, honored to have worked with you, and at the top of the list for wishing you well.
Well, thank you.
My guest today, Johnny Wood. Go see his documentary, Good Morning, I'm Johnny Wood, on YouTube, or go to WCYB and find their YouTube account, and you can find this tribute to Johnny Wood.
Yep.
One more time. Thank you, Johnny.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed our conversations over the years, and I had a lot of fun. You know, I had a lot of fun on the air as well. And I think and hope that we accomplished what we set out to do, and that was to be reliable and to the point.
And you used to say, let's go play TV when it was time to go do the show, and we just got to play radio. My guest, Johnny Wood. Thanks again to Johnny. Thanks again to the listeners for tuning in. You can hear this conversation Wednesdays at 6, Sundays at 2, here on WEHC and also on WISE. You can find our podcast by searching WEHC Podcast, This Conversation. Thanks again, Johnny. Thanks again, everybody. See you next time.
Okay. Bless you.